الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور ثم الذين كفروا بربهم يعدلون. لا يحصي عدد نعمه العادون، ولا يؤدي شكره المتحمدون، ولا يبلغ مدى عظمته الواصفون. بديع السماوات والأرض، إذا قضى أمراً فإنما يقول له كن فيكون. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأعتقد أن لا رب إلا إياه، شهادة من لا يرتاب في شهادته، واعتقاد من لا يستنكف عن عبادته. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده الأمين ورسوله المبين، أرسله الله تعالى إلى الخلق أجمعين بلسان عربي مبين، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وجاهد في سبيل الله المشركين وعبد ربه حتى أتاه اليقين، فصلى الله عليه وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى أصحابه المنتخبين، وعلى من سار على نهجهم وسلك طريقهم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it is of the most fundamental principles of our religion that we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we praise Him for who He is, and that we praise Him for what He has given us, and that we praise Him for each and every blessing that He has bestowed upon us. It is of the fundamental principles of our religion that we thank and glorify Allah. And that is why the first verse in the Quran is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. It is of the fundamental principles of our religion that we thank Him and we glorify Him the way He deserves to be praised. And that is why of the first verses to be revealed in the Quran, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ, and ask for your Lord, exalt and glorify His praise. And when we look at the Quranic methodology of praise, we notice that many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to praise Him because of what He has given us. Many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the favors that He has given us, and He recalls these favors so that we can thank Him. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha an-nas, udhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. O mankind, recall the favors that Allah has given you. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. O you who believe, remember the blessings Allah has blessed you with. Allah even mentions His blessings to those who have rejected Him so that they may thank Him. Allah reminds the Quraysh, Allah reminds the tribe of the Quraysh what Allah has bestowed upon them. الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. You should worship Allah because of these blessings that He has given you. And in this spirit and in this light, it is imperative upon us to worship and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of who He is and also because of what He has blessed us. And of the ways that help us in this thanks and in this glorifying is by mentioning these blessings that Allah has given. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Allah asks us, ask for the blessings of your Lord, narrate them and tell them to others. فَحَدِّثْ. And Allah reminds us, وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Even if you were to try to count the blessings of Allah. So we should try to think of them. We should try to enumerate them. Allah doesn't say don't do that. Allah says when you do so, you will not be able to count all of them. And so my dear brothers and sisters, let us list some of these blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Of the general blessings and of the specific blessings. Of the general blessings of us being who we are, and of the specific blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having allowed us to gather here for this conference, for this Ilm Summit. Of the blessings that Allah has given us, of the general blessings, there is no doubt that the greatest blessing that He has blessed all of us with is the blessing of Islam. And Allah commands us and tells us that people praise Him simply because of this blessing. Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana lihada wama kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. All praises are due to Allah who has guided us to this matter of Islam. And were it not for Allah, we could never have been guided to this matter. Look around you, O Muslims. What percentage of Allah's creation are Muslim? Thank Allah and glorify Him. Praise Him that Allah has guided you, because guidance only comes from Allah. And if Allah had not willed you to be guided, you would not be sitting here right now. Of the general blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, is that not only are we Muslims who believe in Him, but alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we are Muslims who worship Him at least with the bare minimum. We are what is called practicing Muslims, and the two are not the same. For what percentage of Muslims are actually concerned about their religion? And the very fact that you are here, the very fact that you have taken from your time and money, of your efforts and your sacrifice that you have done, it shows, insha'Allah ta'ala, that you are not just of the average Muslims. And this is not that we feel arrogant. It is not that we feel condescending towards others, but rather that we appreciate Allah's blessings so that we can increase in our humility and our thankfulness to Allah. It is not arrogant to appreciate Allah's blessings. It is arrogant to think you deserved it. Arrogance is to look down at people and not to appreciate Allah's blessings. The fact that you are practicing Muslims is an acknowledgement. It is a recognition of Allah's blessings upon you. Of Allah's blessings upon you, the general blessings that He has given. Of Allah's blessings upon you is that He, and only He, has thrown into you, has flung into your souls, a love of this religion and a love of scholarship and a love of ilm and knowledge. And by Allah, this is a beautiful blessing that we need to appreciate and humble ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of. Because we all know the hadith, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whomever Allah wants good for, He allows him to have an understanding of the religion. O Muslims, all of you sitting here right now, have a love of ilm, or else you wouldn't be here. All of you have spent of your efforts and your time, you have traveled far and wide for the sake of ilm. Then rejoice, be happy, and be optimistic that insha'Allah ta'ala, Allah has chosen you for good. Allah wants good for you, and that is why He has blessed you with knowledge. It is not arrogance to be optimistic, not at all. This is a part of our religion. We hope the best from Allah and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has placed this love of knowledge in your hearts, and hope that insha'Allah, Allah wants good of me and Allah wants good from me, and that is why He has blessed me with this love of knowledge. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. And of the specific blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as having gathered here for these 2 weeks in an intensive study, studious academics, the likes of which I don't believe this continent has ever witnessed, bifadlillahi ta'ala, of the specific blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, how many were the people who wanted to come to this camp and this ilm summit? How numerous were they? How numerous were the applications we received? And we had to sift through, and there were many who got accepted but were not able to make it at the end, for whatever reason. And all of you know, all of you fully know, that when the success of this ilm summit is spread amongst the practicing Muslims, each and every one of them will have a wish, why wasn't I there? Why wasn't I able to participate? And the reality is, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. And we accept the decree of Allah. But the fact that you are sitting here, right here and now, is a cause of your rejoice. That out of all of the people who wanted to come, some of whom gave excuses and didn't apply, others of whom applied didn't get accepted, and others of whom applied and got accepted, and then they were not able to come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you. And you alone, apart from so many others, and you were able to witness and experience and live the previous 2 weeks that we have done. Of the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with is that He has allowed us the opportunity to travel for His religion, to journey for the sake of Him. And I ask you by Allah, how many are the journeys that we do for batil? How many are the evil reasons that we travel? How many are the mubah reasons, not even evil, but not good, just a neutral reason? The very fact Allah blessed us with an opportunity to travel for the sake of knowledge, to revive a sunnah that our Prophet Musa alayhi salam began and continued in our tradition and our religion. The entire ummah scholarship is based upon traveling for the sake of knowledge. And so Allah blessed you to become a part of that chain. Allah chose you to revive this sunnah, which is an essential requirement for all those who want to study Islam. And you all know the hadith of Tirmidhi, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever undertakes a journey for the sake of knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the journey to Jannah easy for him. Thank Allah that He has allowed you the opportunity to undertake such a journey. Of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us from this experience that we have had, is that He has caused all of us to come together and experience scholarship, be in the company, if not of ulama, then at least of the students of ulama. He has allowed us to benefit from their wisdom, to experience what it means to study Islam. Of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, is that He has introduced us to many different fields of our religion. We have had so many subjects that we studied, and in each of these fields, there is a special blessing in and of itself. In the adab class that we took, we discovered and we studied and we emphasized not just the characteristics of the student of knowledge, but the characteristic of the righteous salihin of Allah. Each and every characteristic that we talked about doesn't just apply to the student, it applies to the good Muslim. In our class of hadith and Sahih Bukhari, gems and pearls from the Prophet ﷺ were disseminated from a variety of chapters. We read sections of the most authentic book ever authored by men. We read the very words that we are sure 100% emanated from the mouth of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we felt and we saw the emotions, the beauty in the life and the style and the teachings and the mannerisms and the akhlaq of our Rasul. In the tafsir class that we did, we opened up new windows of understanding in the various surahs that were studied. A surah that we might have memorized for the last 10 years, but we never understood the depth, the complexity, the profundity, the amount of meaning that was just lying there for the taking. And we were the ones who were too lazy to pick it up until Allah blessed us to understand it right here and now. Surahs that we recite day in and day out. And even this allowed us to appreciate we only know the tip of the iceberg. So now every time these surahs are recited, they will bless us with a different sense of khushu', a different sense of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Maqasid al-Sharia class that you took, for many of you, this was an absolutely new window of knowledge. You never even knew there was this topic. And it made you appreciate the beauty of this religion. It made you humble in front of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we will never fully be able to understand. It made you understand the intellectual minds of our ulama, who were able to extract these maqasid, who were able to understand what our religion is based on. You saw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in why He revealed this religion to us. And it is nothing but our own good. In our classes of the Qur'an and the i'jaz of the Qur'an, we appreciated just a little bit of how miraculous truly this book is. A book that we take for granted. A book that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come and complain to Allah about on the Day of Judgment. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. And the Prophet will come and he will say, oh my Lord, my own people took this Qur'an as something to be abandoned. And there is no doubt that the primary implication of the verse is the Quraysh. But Ibn al-Qayyim and other ulama say, oh Muslims, don't feel so safe that the complaint doesn't apply to you. Don't feel so safe that your Prophet will not come and complain against Allah and say, oh my Lord, my own nation, inna qawmi, they abandoned the book that you gave them. So by studying the i'jaz of the Qur'an, we appreciated just a little bit of how truly miraculous this book is. In our fiqh sessions, which concentrated on tahara, we saw the emphasis that was given on purity in our religion. And of the earliest verses to be revealed, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَاهِرٍ. And of your clothes, make sure they are tahir, they are pure. And if this is the emphasis placed on physical purity, then I ask you, where do you think spiritual purity plays a role in this? If this is the emphasis placed on outer purity, how much more so the inner purity of the soul? And we appreciate it indeed, as the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-tahuru shatrul iman, that purification is half of faith. In our classes of balagha, in our classes of Quranic eloquence, each and every example that we heard, it astounded our minds. It made us understand how ignorant we were of this book that we recite every day. It made us appreciate the wisdom of Allah, the precision with which each and every letter, each and every word is chosen. It made us understand that if we were to spend a lifetime only concentrating on this book and its Quranic eloquence, its i'jaz, al-balaghi, we would not do justice to it. But just a tidbit made us taste the sweetness of this book and gave us a thirst for more knowledge. In our classes of Andalus, we discovered that despite all of these divine blessings, our predecessors were still human nonetheless. They made major accomplishments that make us proud to this day, but they were still human. And they had major flaws and big, big problems. Problems of the heart, problems of the soul, problems of religion. They were not angels. And so looking at that, appreciating that the ummah is human, even if the blessings conferred upon it are divine, it made us sympathize our own situation. It made us feel not all hope is lost. If the people before us as well went through struggles and trials, let us benefit from their struggles and trials so that another Andalus is not repeated. Allah Azza wa Jal gave us an opportunity to see what happens when Muslims bicker, when Muslims disunite, when we prefer others over ourselves, when we abandon the religion. Allah blessed us with an opportunity to see others fall into a trap so that we, inshallah, are safe from that trap. And that is the primary lesson that we learned from this history of Andalus. And even throughout all of the days, throughout each and every session, how many were the pearls that were scattered for free? How many were the bits of information that your instructors spent years combining, studying with ulama for decades, some of them, and here they are, they summarize it for you. And here and there they go into their tangent and they still benefit you with an anecdote, with a story, with a point of advice. And these types of things you would not have been able to benefit from unless Allah Azza wa Jal blessed you to be in their company. And indeed, this is of the blessings Allah Azza wa Jal has given us through this ilm summit. Of the blessings that He has given us is the prayers that we are praying communally in jama'ah. Many of us live far away from the masajid, and so to be able to pray collectively in jama'ah with people whom Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed to be memorizers of the Qur'an and has blessed some of them with good voices and khushu' in their voices. This is something, it is a blessing. Wallahi, it is a blessing in North America to pray behind somebody who recites the Qur'an the way that it is supposed to be recited. And this is a blessing that Allah has blessed all of us with. Of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us here at Ilm Summit, and it is a blessing that all of you appreciate and realize, is the blessing of meeting a group of brothers and a group of sisters, the likes of whom you could never find in your own communities. People who have traveled far and wide from all over this world only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have established bonds with them, eating with them, drinking with them, even fighting with them. This is all a part and parcel of coming together and living together. The friendship that you have formed here will be types of friendships, by Allah, mark my words, you will cherish them. Years from now, it is possible, and Allah knows best, it is possible that perhaps two of you do not meet one another for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years. But by Allah, the minute that you meet each other, the minute that you say salams to one another, after all of those years, the one thing that will come back will be the memories that were formed here at this Ilm Summit. And the bonds of brotherhood and the bonds of sisterhood, these bonds are essential for the ummah to flourish. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَّاهُ بَعْضُ. The believing men and the believing women, they are protectors of one another. This is a part and parcel of being a productive member of the ummah. And without these bonds, the ummah will never flourish. We've experienced these bonds. We've experienced the brotherhood. We've experienced the ilm. We've experienced the iman. We've experienced the taqwa. We've experienced the thrill of knowledge. But of the lessons of Ilm Summit is one that is a little bit bitter as well. But it is a lesson that is important nonetheless. And it is a lesson that life teaches us. And the Quran and Sunnah are very clear about. And that is that all things on this earth must come to an end. All things without exception must come to an end. If this earth is going to come to an end, if the world and all that is on it, يَوْمَ نَطْوِ السَّمَاءَ كَطَيِّ سِجِلِّ لِلْكُتُبِ كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُهُ. If the earth and all that is in it will come to an end, then surely those who are on it will also come to an end. And every experience that we live and every joy that Allah blesses us of this world is a temporal joy. It is a temporary blessing. It is a blessing that is only a taste of the real blessings of the hereafter. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِذَا مَا تَمَّ نُقْصَانُ. Every single thing, even if it ascends to the top, eventually it has to begin to slope down. And here we come, after 2 weeks of study, 2 weeks of brotherhood, 2 weeks of ilm and iman and amal and taqwa. No matter how long this lasts, it must come to an end as well. And here we are at the concluding stages of this ilm summit. But I want to ask you before it concludes, and this is a profound point. I want to ask you, did you notice something missing from your lives? Or were you feeling very satisfied the way that you were? Did you notice a very big gap? Or were you feeling productive and fulfilled in what you did? And I think that all of us will admit, we felt a sense of productivity, a sense of fulfillment, a sense of joy, the likes of which perhaps we have never experienced in our lives. But are you even aware that outside of the confines of this hotel, there is a world outside of us, and that this world is engrossed in a million and one things? There are right now, as we speak, millions of people tuning in to the Olympics taking place in Beijing. And BBC estimated that over 1 billion people attended and saw live the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. And when those ceremonies were taking place, you were sitting here studying the Book of Allah. Did you feel a gap? Did you feel something missing? Were you regretful? Why aren't I sitting in front of a television watching the opening of the Olympics? By Allah, I ask you this. And what would you have been doing if you hadn't attended Ilm Summit? What would you have been doing if you were with your friends and family in front of that television? Every single news channel will be tuned to the same thing. Every day you log on, you check, what are the latest golds, silvers, what are the latest wins in this country, in that country. You see the news clips, you see the video. Subhanallah, have you not noticed the blessings of time? We have the same amount of time in Ilm Summit as we do outside of it. It's what we did with this time. It's how we took advantage of it. Every one of us has the same amount of time. But when we are engrossed in the dunya, we become so busy in matters. Not only are they not beneficial to us, they are harmful to us. We become so engrossed in issues that take up our lives. The most precious thing Allah has given us is time, life. We're not going to be able to get that back. Money comes and goes. Life of our beloved comes and goes. But the time that we have, it is only one time and one opportunity. Notice and experience the difference. Look at how and why the ulama of the past, they were blessed with the same lives we were. Imam al-Nawawi only lived for around 40 years or so. Ibn Taymiyyah died an average age of 60 something. And yet look at what they did. They didn't have longer lives. It's just that they took advantage of their time. And in these 2 weeks, there is no doubt we didn't take as much advantage as al-Nawawi or Ibn Hajar Ibn Taymiyyah did. There's no doubt. But still, look at how much was accomplished. Look at your notes. Look at how much you studied. Look at how long it will take you to go over all that you have done. By Allah, if you were to tell the average talib al-ilm in North America, this is what I did at Ilm Summit, 2 weeks, he wouldn't believe you. You did all of that in 2 weeks? He would not believe you. It's not that the time all of a sudden changes. It's that we take advantage of it. And I want us, if we only leave with this one simple message, and that is, look at how we took advantage of our time. We could do the same thing outside of Ilm Summit. We don't have to check our email every 10 minutes. We don't have to read the paper every single day. I ask you, do you even remember the headlines of yesterday, of last week? Do you remember who won the Emmys or the Oscars of last year? Is it really that important? Allah blessed you with one life. And in these 2 weeks, we appreciated how much we can do with that one life. Take advantage of this time, because by Allah, when 1 second goes, it will never come back. As Abu Darda said, O son of Adam, you are but a bit of times put together. And every time one goes, it will not come back until finally, when your time is up, you won't have any more bit to add on at the end. Take advantage of each and every moment that you have. And if Ilm Summit has allowed you to appreciate how much you can do, then inshaAllah ta'ala, let this be the beginning of a new era for all of us. O Muslims, as I have said, of the painful lessons of Ilm Summit, is that everything must come to an end. And so here we are as well, coming to a close of our 2 weeks of intensive ilm, an intensive ibadah, an intensive cooperation and fraternal brotherhood. Even though this comes to an end, the legacy of the knowledge that you have attained should live on forever. بارك الله لي ولكم الفرقان العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. O Muslims, now that we are about to leave this convention and gathering and return back and travel to our homelands and home cities and home countries even, the question arises, what next? What next? What is the next step after this? What I want each and every one of you to do on the journey home, sitting in the car and in the plane as you go back, I want you to think about tomorrow. I don't want you to sit there with the sadness of Ilm Summit and that's it. No, that sadness has to be channeled. That sadness has to be transformed into action. Think about tomorrow. What can I do for my community, for my nation, for my ummah? What can I possibly give them back? Where can I be useful to the people around me? See what you can do. Be proactive. Think about the benefits and the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can possibly cause from your hands. It is said in the Quran that many of the prophets of Allah prayed to Allah, O Allah, make us mubarakeen wherever we are. وَجْعَلْنَا مُبَارَكِينَ أَيْنَمَا كُنَّا Make us mubarak wherever we are. And the scholars of tafsir said, the meaning is wherever they went, they would benefit the people. This is how they were mubarak. Not that barakah is exuding from their bodies like waves and like rays of light. Even if it was, that's not the primary barakah that came from them. The primary barakah that came from the prophets of Allah was not the spiritual barakah. Yes, it was there. The primary barakah was the barakah of their knowledge and actions. And if we cannot compete with them in that, surely we can get a little bit of that. That's what we're supposed to do. We are the followers of the prophets. We're supposed to take a little bit of that barakah and try our best to implement it and make dua to Allah that Allah makes us mubarakeen wherever we are. Look at your community. Look at your skills. Look at what you are capable of doing and then begin to do it. Begin to do it. And aim not just for the ceilings, not just for the clouds. Aim for the highest level possible. Do not underestimate yourselves, O Muslims. Do not sell yourselves short. The Prophet ﷺ said, if any of you asks for Jannah, and we all ask for Jannah. If any of you asks for Jannah, let him ask Jannatul Firdaus. For it is the highest Jannah, and the middle of Jannah, and underneath the throne of Ar-Rahman. Now I ask you by Allah, will everybody who asks Jannatul Firdaus get into it? I ask you by Allah, will the majority of the ummah get into Jannatul Firdaus? I ask you by Allah, will the majority of practicing righteous ulama salihin enter Jannatul Firdaus? And the answer is a resounding no. Of course it's elite, because it's Jannatul Firdaus. And yet, did the Prophet ﷺ say, you know, you guys shouldn't aim for it. It's too high for you. No! He said, the average Muslim, raise your hands up to Allah and aim for the highest. Not middle class, not upper class. Aim for the highest. This is a part of our religion. You ask Allah for Jannatul Firdaus, realizing that the majority of the ummah will not get it. But how do you know? Maybe you will. How do you know? Maybe you will. You aim for the highest, not just for excellence. For the supreme, highest level that is possible. Once I was sitting with one of the ulama I truly admire and respect.
And an alim full of wisdom, full not just of ilm, but of wisdom. And we were sitting in a gathering, a small gathering, and he said, and he was talking about a similar concept I'm talking about. He said, when I quote you the hadith of Abu Dawood, that the Prophet said that at the end of every 100 years, Allah will send a mujaddid who will revive this religion. After every 100 years, Allah will send a mujaddid who revives this religion. When I quote you this hadith, what is the first question that comes to your minds? Every one of you. One of us said, Shaykh, who is that person? That's the question that comes. So the scholar said, look, this is your problem. This is your problem. You look around at other people. Who is this person? Why can't you think, oh Allah, make me this mujaddid? Why can't you think that? Why are you selling yourself short? If you know there's going to be one, if you know there's going to be somebody who moves and shakes the ummah, what is wrong in making dua to Allah, in hoping that Allah makes you of those mujaddideen? And Allah tells us in the Quran that we should make dua to Allah. Allahumma ja'alna lilmuttaqina imama. Oh Allah, make us an imam. Make us a leader. Make us a mover and shaker. Not just to the average Muslims, to the muttaqin. Make us the imam of the muttaqin. Why do we sell ourselves short, brothers and sisters? Why are we content with mediocre? Aim for the highest. Achieve the greatest goals. Have them in your head. Think about your future. Many of you are still young, in your 20s, early 30s. Many of you have a life ahead of you. Sit back and think, what can I do for the ummah? I'm still young. Perhaps Allah Azza wa Jalla will bless me in this or in that. And even if you don't arrive at these high goals you've set, even if you fall short, you know what? Because you've aimed so high, your falling short will inshallah be far above and higher what other people do. Even if you fall short of this high standard that you set, the very fact that you weren't to this high level, when you fall short, it will be miles and miles above the people around you and surrounding you. And this is the goal of our religion. Be optimistic. Think the best of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And realize, when these movers and shakers that we're studying, when these ulama, when these du'at, when these political leaders were born, and they were being raised in their households, do you really think that they thought they're going to leave behind a legacy? Do you really think they understood who they would become after they died? Do you think that Ibn Taymiyyah, when he's a teenager, he's thinking, what's going to happen 700 years down the line? Will people remember me or not? No. But he did what he had to. He did what he had to, and he aimed for the best. Ibn Hajar, Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi, when they were growing up, do you really think they had any vision that this is what I'm going to be doing? No. But they aimed the highest. They didn't let anybody pull them down. And they kept on striving, charting new areas, going where no alim had ever gone before, no mujahid had ever gone before. They didn't look back and say, oh, everybody's behind. They kept on going and going and going. And by the time they ended, by the time Allah willed that they die, and every single thing must come to an end, they had gone so far ahead that to this day, we're looking at them in wonder and amazement, 7 centuries later. Oh Muslims, the message I want to leave you with at Ilm Summit, the message I want to leave you with at Ilm Summit, do not trivialize your role in the Ummah. Each and every one of you is unique. Each and every one of you has been blessed with talents, with a mind, with a circle of friends, with a sphere of influence that no other human being shares on earth. You are unique. Your skills are unique. Your talents are unique. Your circle of influence is unique. Therefore, it is wajib upon you to try to understand, to set these goals. What can I do to cause this lasting influence? That will be sadaqa jariya for me. Your niyyah is sadaqa jariya, and your niyyah is to revive the ummah, and your niyyah is to bring about the glory that once was. This is all a part of our religion, and there's nothing wrong with having these multiple niyyahs. And the last advice that I give you in this khutbah is the advice that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give when he would send groups of people out to teach Islam. A beautiful hadith, and a hadith that should be in the minds of myself and each and every one of you whenever we deal with the Muslim Ummah. The last advice that he would give any group that was leaving to teach, to preach, to educate, the last thing he would tell them, بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا وَيَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. This is our religion. بَشِّرُوا, give glad tidings, attract the people to Islam. وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا, don't turn them away through your attitude, through your arrogance, through your strictness and harshness. وَيَسِّرُوا, make things easy for them. وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا, and don't make things difficult for them. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا, and all of you, you who are the role models, you who are going to teach, you who are going to educate, all of you, you have to be عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا, brothers and sisters, you have to come together, stop this bickering and fighting amongst yourselves. If you are not role models, how do you expect the people to take from you? بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. اللهم إني داع فأمنوا, اللهم لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم ذنبا إلا غفرته, ولا هما إلا فرجته, ولا دينا إلا قضيته, ولا مريضا إلا شفيته, ولا عسيرا إلا يسرته. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان, ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا, ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا, اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا, اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا, اللهم أعزنا بالإسلام وأعز الإسلام بنا, اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين. عباد الله, إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه, فقال عز من قائل عليما, إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي, يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله, إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم, ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر, والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.
الحمد لله رب العالمين, الرحمن الرحيم, مالك يوم الدين, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى, والذي قدر فهدى, والذي أخرج المرعى, فجعله غثاء أحوى, سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله, إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى, ونيسرك لليسرى, فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى, سيذكر من يخشى, ويتجنبها الأشقى, الذي يصلى النار الكبرى, ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا, قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى, بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى, إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى, صحف إبراهيم وموسى. هل أتاك حديث الغالي
خاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا